Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Spirituality is not the opposite of education. Education has a part, but education and development and determination and understanding who we are has a role, but education and the world's wisdom will never find happiness or fulfillment in any single person. There's always a little more beyond. It's God's wisdom.
The truth is, Jesus gives you all you need to live powerfully and abundantly. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young launches into his message, The Mind of Christ, pulling back the curtain of the world's wisdom and showing you how to be fully equipped to live in these uncertain days. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young is coming up next. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, we wanted to let you know that Wednesday, March 31, is the final day to have your gift doubled to help The Winning Walk finish this financial year in the strongest possible position. So many generous friends have already stepped forward with support, and we're grateful. In fact, the response has been so incredible that an additional $15,000 matching grant has been made available to double any gift you give. So call now to make the most of this exciting opportunity and help reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Mind of Christ.
I think all of us are at least vaguely familiar with The Wizard of Oz. It was written in 1900 by Frank Baum, and it's become a classic. It's been made, it's a thick book, by the way, Broadway play. The music that was in the musical that was put on Hollywood was Somewhere Over the Rainbow, made Judy Garland famous. It's a powerful story. It's the first fairy tale written by an American. First one, 1900. And it has some great fundamental truths. If you remember the story of Cyclone, that's an antique word now, we use tornado. A cyclone struck Kansas, and there's a little girl, Dorothy, and a little dog, Toto. She had a head injury, and she was whoosh, out to another place, not knowing where she was, trying to find her way back home. Someone says you had to go and find the great Wizard of Oz in the land of Oz. And he would be able to give you direction that you will get back home. So she said, where do I begin? And the instructor said, you just go down that yellow brick road. Just walk down that yellow brick road. So Dorothy and Toto begin to walk down the yellow brick road. And the story tells of all the situation in which they found themselves. First, there was a scarecrow, remember? And the scarecrow, Dorothy engaged with the scarecrow, and the scarecrow said, I've got a problem, I don't have a brain. Oh, I want a brain. And Dorothy said, hey, come on with me down the yellow brick road, and I am told that the great Wizard of Oz can do a lot of things, and the wizard is going to tell me to get back home to Kansas, and also the wizard might be able to give you a brain. The scarecrow said, I'm ready to go. Then they go a little farther down the road, and they run into a tin man. And the tin man tells Dorothy, I've got a problem. I don't have a heart. No feeling, no compassion. I want to have a heart like everybody else. And Dorothy says, well, come on, we're going to see the wizard. And maybe he can give you a heart. And so he gets in the parade. They go down that yellow brick road, and they run into a lion, king of the beast. The lion said, I've got a problem. I've got a big problem. I'm supposed to be so strong, but I don't have any courage. I want courage. And Dorothy said, we're going to see the wizard there in the land of Oz, and maybe he can give you courage. And so here's that little parade, Toto and Dorothy, a little blonde-headed girl, and here is the scarecrow and the lion and the tin man. And they go through all kind of obstacles, if you remember the story. They come to a ditch. They have to build a bridge across a ditch. They go to a high hill, and they don't think they can make it, and they meet all kinds of people, from flying monkeys to mushkins, and then finally they even go and find a chariot pulled by little mice, and all this involved into a thrilling fairy tale, until finally they get to see the Wizard of Oz, the mighty Wizard of Oz in the lands of Oz, in the Emerald City. Everything was green, everything was emerald in color. And they go before the wizard, and Dorothy makes a request, and a long story short, the wizard said, well, I can't give the scarecrow brains, and I certainly can't give the lion courage, and I can't give the tin man a heart. And so he goes through all of this fancy excuse making, and they knew, oh, the great wizard had the power to do it. And then remember little Toto, the dog in the movie, he goes up, and there's a wizard behind this curtain, and a little dog comes and begins to pull the curtain, and the curtain falls down. And the wizard is just a little guy there who had been a con artist all of these years. With a loud microphone, he had fooled all the people of Oz. He had them wearing glasses that made everything green. And he had explained to them to build him a palace. And he went through all of these sleight of hands, mystical things. And then Dorothy looks up at him and says, in so many words, you're a phony. You're not real. You are humbug. That was the word in the story. You're humbug. And the wizard just admits all that. And finally they go and he says, I can't help you, but let me tell you what I can do. So he ultimately takes the scarecrow and he takes his head off and stuffs something in his brain in the head cavity. He said, well, now maybe you can think you've got a brain. Then he goes over and he takes a lion and says, drink all this green stuff, and that green stuff will get inside of you, and that green liquid will give you courage. That's what you want. He took the tin man and cut a hole out of the tin and put in there a little red thing that looked like a heart, and then he soldered it back in place and said, well, now you've got a heart. And he said, Dorothy, I can't help you. I can't get you back to Kansas. I wouldn't know where to begin. But what happened in the story ultimately is that suddenly the moral, the basic truth of the Wizard of Oz comes out. And it's simply this. It's the new age thinking way back in 1900. Try harder. You've got what you need already in your life. Just bring it out. The lion, oh, you've got courage. Just go and act like you've got courage. The scarecrow, oh, you've got a brain. Just give yourself and develop that brain. The tin man, you've got a heart and compassion. And the symbol of all of this, all of a sudden, their whole lives were indeed upgraded. Their whole lives, just by trying harder. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the wisdom of the world, is it not? I remember as a little guy, my mother would read to me something about the little engine that could. I forgot the name of it. I remember the words, though. The engine goes up the hill. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Yeah, at the top of the hill going, I thought I could. I thought I could. That's it. You've got whatever you need to give you purpose and put your life together. Just try harder, work harder, get up early, get an education. But you know, there's another whole realm of wisdom. It's God's wisdom. And God's wisdom takes man's wisdom. Now, don't misunderstand me. Spirituality is not the opposite of education. Education has a part, but education and development and determination and understanding who we are has a role. But education and the world's wisdom will never find happiness or fulfillment in any single person. There's always a little more beyond. And so we come to the town, the city of Corinth. They specialized in wisdom. Man, the Corinthians were all about wisdom. Man, Athens, man, the citadel of philosophy. The early philosophers, Euripides, Plato, Aristotle, all of their man's wisdom. And wisdom was the currency of the day. Power, also currency of the day. And also hedonism, currency of the day. They're in Corinth. And now Paul goes and says, man, I see you've got all this going for you. But he said, I want to tell you about a different kind of wisdom. And he goes to this pagan, universal, multiracial, multicultural, multilinguistic city of Corinth and said, I want to tell you about God. And of all things, in all places, he started a church. He founded the body of Christ. And it was a booming church, people from all sorts of life. It was a phenomenal thing, a supernatural thing. And Paul goes away, leaves people there to disciple and tell the rest of the story of the gospel. But the church suddenly becomes more like Corinth and their thinking. Then Corinth becomes like the wisdom of God, the thinking of the church. Sound familiar? Are we becoming more like the world, or is the church penetrating the world in which we live? That's a big question. That's a big question. So we come to Corinthians, and we've already been introduced to what I have summarized. We come to the second chapter, and it's very, very interesting how it begins. Now, remember what's happening. Paul had found the church. He'd been away. The church had gone backwards in their morals, and he's going to get to all that. He's going to say what's right and wrong, what's true of someone who's a Jesus follower. But he's going to get to that, but he's putting a foundation down. He's answering some questions that he had been asked, and he's writing a letter back to the church. He said, I'm going to come and deal with all of this. Let me give you a preamble of what's going to happen and needs to happen in your life and in the body of Christ there in Corinth. And it is so relevant. It is so over-the-plate practical for where we are now in our America, in our cities, and in the city in which we live. Look what he says in the second chapter. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or with human wisdom, as I proclaim to you the testimony of God. Paul said, I didn't come overwhelming you with brilliant $50 words. I didn't come try to appeal to you and they'd say, ooh, Paul is, oh, he is so erudite. By the way, he could have come like that. Nobody had better credentials than the Apostle Paul in the academic, philosophical area. even in the religious era. Nobody had better credentials than Paul. But he said, I didn't come to you trying to overwhelm you. He said, boy, he is brilliant. Boy, he's giving us so many wonderful things. He said, my approach wasn't like that. He said, I came and I gave you the basic testimony of God. He said, I just told you in the founding of the church how you can get right with God, how I got right with God, and how you can get right with God. And then the next verse, he said, I just came to you saying one thing. I presented to you Jesus Christ crucified. Psst. That was it. And he said, therefore, you responded to the meaning of the cross, and your response wasn't because you were convinced, overwhelmed. You responded because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, touched your heart and your life and your mind and changed you, and radically changed you. Why did, I ask you, the message of crucifixion of Christ, why was it adequate? Why was it the place to begin? We need to remember the cross. The cross gets you and I, as it did those Corinthians, right with God. That's where you start. We can't do business anywhere until I get right, you get right with God. And Jesus Christ on that cross died for you and me. So we have an entree all the way to God. We don't go on our own merits. We go by grace on the gift of God. He died for you and me in your place and in my place. Therefore, that's how we get right with God. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. This is how you get right with God. And then he says, you're right with God, you get right with yourself. A lot of us have to forgive ourselves, get over ourselves. And then he said, and there's that horizontal bar, he said, then you get right with everybody else. Isn't that where we begin our Christian life? Forgiveness and grace. I get right with myself, I can get right with others. And Paul said, that's the message I gave you when I came. Christ crucified. That's where you began. And tragically, we're going to find out a little parenthesis here. They stayed right there. They never did grow up. And therefore, we're going to see in the next chapter another category of people called carnal Christians. A carnal Christian is someone who has gotten right with God, received Christ, gotten right with themselves, and they just stayed right there in kindergarten in the first grade of Christianity. And they've been there for years. They haven't gone anywhere else. And people like that, you know what happens to you? You have Christ, the Holy Spirit is in your life, but you're not utilizing that. You're not growing up. You're not maturing. You're not understanding things. You just have the basic testimony of beginning. I prayed a little prayer and I was baptized and man, I'm okay. But you're living a carnal life, a life not so different from someone who'd never known God and never received forgiveness and never been to the cross. All of that is there, but you stayed in kindergarten. You stayed in the first grade. You haven't gone on. And Paul goes on and says, I gave you my testimony. That was the beginning part. And then he continues in this chapter. And what does he say? Listen carefully. He says, I proclaim to you the testimony of God, for I resolved to know nothing among you while I was with you except Jesus Christ crucified. Verse 3, I came to you in weakness, with fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. I didn't use rhetoric or persuasive ways. You came to Christ when you saw you can get right with God in this way. And therefore, I presented only to you Jesus crucified. There was a church in which they had Jesus right above the pulpit in a stained glass window. And the pastor was a relatively small man, and he would speak. But one Sunday, he had a guest speaker came. He was a large guy, and he was speaking. And a little girl with her mother on the front row said, "Where's that guy who usually speaks up there? This guy speaking now is so big, I can't see Jesus. I can't see Jesus." Paul said, "I didn't come to you with all of my philosophical moorings and utterances." He said, "I came to you so you could see Jesus, Christ crucified." But then Paul goes on to say, but there's more to Christianity than just staying in the first grade. And then he continues here with tremendous truth. Look at it. He starts in verse number 6. He said, "We do not, however, speak a message of wisdom among the truth." He said, "We do speak a message of wisdom among the truth." He said, "There is more for you to understand. And it is God's wisdom." We've already seen in chapter 1, what was God's wisdom? Jesus. That's it. God's wisdom is Jesus. And Paul says, "I want to give you more wisdom. You've stayed there in kindergarten to the first grade. Now I want to give you God's wisdom." And look what God's wisdom is. "This is to those who are growing up, who are maturing, but rulers of the age who are coming to nothing, we declare God's wisdom a mystery," big word, a mysterion, "that had been hidden and that God designed for our glory before time began." What's he saying? He's saying, "I came to you with a simple message of Christ crucified," but he said, "I want to come to you now for those who are maturing and want to grow up with your faith. I'm going to tell you the mysteries of God." What does that mean? The word mysterion is used 27 times in the New Testament. Used 3 times, once each in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's used 4 times in the book of Revelation. And he comes and says, here is a mystery, and Paul uses it 20 times in his epistles. It's something that is hidden, that had not been seen, and now it's uncovered. In the Greek, it is the word for mouth. Mouth. It's mouth.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Isaiah 41:13. "For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. When we move away from God, we move toward fear. But when we move toward God, we move away from fear." How does this operate? Picture a mother, her little girl on a shopping trip. The mom says, "Hold my hand or you'll get lost in here. Stay near me." Little girl thinks she can handle things by herself, so she slips away from the mother and begins to wander until she realizes she does not know where she is. That is precisely what we do. We're created by God. We're made to hold His hand. Only when we hold His hand and stay close to Him will we make it through life without getting lost.
We hope today's message has been an encouragement to you as you grow in your walk with Christ. And right now, you have a special opportunity to help others do the same. That's because an additional $15,000 matching grant has been made available to double any gift you give to help The Winning Walk finish this financial year strong on March 31. With all that's gone on this past year, nothing could be more important than inviting men and women all over the world into the kingdom and equipping them to stand firm in Jesus. And that's exactly what your gift will help do. So call now to make the most of this exciting opportunity and have your gift doubled to help reach more people. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young concludes his message with proven truth to help you truly live in the power of Christ.